Bible, turn please to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Hello. Yeah. Good to see so many in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at the end verse. Just quickly. Verse 13. And we'll go just want to look at that quickly. And then we'll go to the beginning and work our way through. Because what can happen here, not that God is trying to give us a false sense of security, but us as Christians, we tend to read the verses we want. If I'll read that because that's encouraging, that's nice, and I'll read that, and I like that one. And I love them little daily breads. I don't know if you get them anymore, but you get them little catalogues of bread in your little cards, and you put them out, it's all like, Jesus loves you. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? You read that, you get another one out, it's like, God's going to bless you today. Like, oh, this is Christian. You know what I mean? And we forget about, we need the full counsel of God. And Paul's trying to make a point here. And we're going to have a look at, let's just first read chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it or endure it. Amen. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do praise you, my God, and we glorify your wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, through you. I pray for me tonight, brothers and sisters. Lord, we ask you, Lord, just bless us, Lord. Help us to leave here, Lord, differently, Lord, than when we came in, my God. That we would have understanding, that your word would pierce our hearts, my God. That we would understand, Lord, how we may please you and love you and serve you better, my God. And that your name would be glorified and praised and lifted now, Lord, in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go back and read verse 1 in a minute, but as we read verse 13, we can be encouraged and have hope. Because what it's saying is God won't put more on us than what we can bear. And sometimes I find that hard to understand myself, because I think, Lord, sometimes I bore things I didn't think I wanted to or could. But the Bible is a promise. God is promising. He won't put more on us than what we can bear. And we can take hope and encouragement in that and say, look, thank you, Lord. Like, I haven't read the full chapter, but I thank you, Lord, for that verse. And we've been creating ourselves a false sense of security. And what I mean by that is we don't understand what's being said here because we haven't read the bit before. We don't understand what Paul's trying to say. So what we do, we don't understand God's plan and work in our lives. We're thinking that what that verse means is that means, Lord, that you won't put more in a bed. Nothing ever bad is ever going to happen to me. We think nothing bad is ever going to happen to me because you have promised that you won't put more in me than what I can bear. And then we think nothing bad. And then when bad things do happen, and we go through trials and tribulations, we go, the Lord has failed us. Because we didn't understand what Paul was talking about. We think to ourselves that, he says, no temptation has overtaken. We think, oh, temptation, you'll never get the better of me because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. And the enemy will never have the glory in my life. But it's not what the verse is saying. Let's just look at verse 1. Let's go back to the beginning. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. So he's talking about the Israelites of old. He's telling these believers here that the Jews that was before them, that from the Old Testament, Moses, and it's talking about the time of Moses, they travelled through the desert, they were under the cloud. Their fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the Red Sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, what's happening here? is this Corinthian church, they're mostly Gentiles. They're not Jews. There is, in all of the churches, a lot of them, there was Jews and Gentiles. But this is mainly a Gentile, non-Jewish church. So what was they before they got saved? They were all pagans. They all worshipped down at the temples. They all worshipped false gods and idols and pagan gods. And it was full of immorality and sickliness and sin and false worship. Jim Ward preached last week, and Paul even talked about the animals that was offered to the idols. And if it was proper to eat the meat that was offered to the idols. This church, in fact, if you read Corinthians through and you started from the beginning to read it through, you'd think these people ain't even saved. They're living such a godless, they're rotten. But Paul calls them brethren. These people are saved, they're in the newness of life, but they're still practicing a lot of their old customs. They're still living in a lot of their same old way. And what they're saying is, Paul's coming in saying, you shouldn't be living like that. And they're saying, listen, we don't live like that. God judged the Jews. He said that God's going to judge you if you keep living and falling into these sins. Oh no, that was in the Old Testament, Paul. That was the Jews. But we're saved. We're born again. We're new believers. It's not the same judgment for us as it is then. And he's saying to them, do you not realise that those who wandered in the wilderness, that walked in the desert, that Moses led out, they was baptised. Oh, we're baptised. They had the law. We're saved by grace. We got the grace of God. It's not that God's going to deal with us differently than we deal with them. He said, do you not realise that they was all baptised when they went through the Red Sea? Do you not realise that they all ate the manna that fell from heaven, spiritual food that you're eating? They all drank from the spiritual rock, which is Christ, which you drink from. But they fell in the desert. God wasn't pleased with them. So why are you going to escape judgment if you keep on sinning? Why are you any different than what they are? The Corinthian church believed that they had grace, and they, because they were set free, that they wasn't under the law, and they wasn't. But it was under the moral law, it was under the law of Christ, and it's meant to live by the commandments of the Lord and to live holy lives. And these people were saved. They were set free. But they were still practicing ungodly things. When you read the book of Corinthians, they were still falling into sin. And that same judgment that applied to others for their sin and idolatry, they didn't think it applied to them. That was in the Old Testament. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that these things that have been written in the Old Testament are for our learning. Paul's talking to the church. What are we a part of today? Hello? Joseph to the church. Hello, anyone home? What are we a part of today? The church. And he's writing to them and he's saying, listen, look, this applies to you as well. These things that are written, the Bible says, are for our example, that we should learn by them. Now, when you read the Old Testament, what is it to you? If you just take it as a bunch of stories, I'll read to my children about Joseph. I'll read to my children about Abraham. I'll read a nice story today about Isaac and Jacob. I'll read a nice story today about King David. If we just think they're just stories, but the Bible says that everything that's been written before is for our learning. For our encouragement. For what reason? That we wouldn't make the same mistakes. Paul was saying, don't make the same mistakes they made. God set them free. He brought them out of slavery. They walked it by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They ate spiritual food that fell from heaven. They drank from the rock in the desert. And some of them fell in judgment because they wouldn't leave off sinning. Everything that Christianity is and is not is between the pages of this Bible. Every part of it is for our lives. We can take something out of every part of it and apply it to our lives. When we're in glory, when I get to heaven, I won't need the Bible. There is no more preaching in heaven. There is no Bible teaching in heaven. There is no encouragement from the Word of God in heaven. Because we'll be with the living Word, hallelujah. We'll be in the presence of God. But while I'm here on earth, I need to know how to walk and please the Lord. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters. I have to be careful. You have to be careful. That we're not so proud that we can read the Word of God and think that it doesn't apply for us. That was for them. This is the same mistake that the Corinthian church is making. Paul's explaining to them, they got judged when they fell, and what happened was they wouldn't leave off with the sin. So if you don't leave off, God is gracious, but you draw a line, God will only go so far. We know that God's grace is real, but as Christians, we have to understand that judgment is real also. Let's not make the same mistake as the Corinthians was making. Verse 6, chapter 10, verse 6. It says, now these things became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lust. He's saying that these things that you read in the Old Testament, they're an example to you. That you would lust and run after the same things that they did and fall in the same sin. And do not become idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now what he's saying is, he's talking about Moses when he's in the desert. Moses goes up the mountain to meet with the Lord, right? And while he's there, all the people start going a bit divvy in themselves. They get hold of Aaron and they go, we want to worship, we want a different God. So they give Aaron all their gold. Aaron throws it in the fire and they make like a little golden calf. And God says to Moses, you best get back down the mountain, because you know these people of yours, they're going divvy. Down the bottom of the mountain. Again, Dimmo. That was a big party. And when Moses comes down there, they're saying, Aaron makes excuses. Oh, the white girls have put the gold in the fire. And this cow came out of it. And it wasn't me, it was them. And it was all they wanted. And if God's just led them out of Egypt. God's just led them out of Egypt. They've distracted, they've ate food that fell from heaven, drank from a rock in the middle of the desert, passed through the Red Sea, a cloud by day so they never got burned. A pillar of fire by night. The Bible says in Exodus that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and their clothes never even wore out. They were supernaturally covered by the Lord. The first thing they do when they think God or Moses saying, is anyone dicking? No. Make us a golden calf for worship that. God says, and I think to myself, there's a handy lot of people, mate. And why not the same? Am I not the same? I've come to a point in my life. Can we not be the same? That God has done so much for us, and at the first opportunity for a temptation or sin, we grab at it. We think like God's end is turned, no one's looking, we grab at it, like they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. God said to them, listen, what's happening here are the people are being judged. Not for no reason. God has given them a law. God has drawn a line and said, right, don't worship false idols. I have no other gods yet before me. Moses' back is turned. They make a false idol and worship. Bang. Dead. Gone. They fall. Then they come over, God says, don't marry into the foreign people, don't let your men marry the foreign women, because what's going to happen is them foreign women have got foreign gods, they turn your men's heads, your son's heads, to worship the foreign gods. Don't do it, don't marry into them. They start marrying the women, they start worshiping other gods, now they're coming into the tabernacle and worshiping God, and they're sacrificing the false idols. Bang. God ain't being overzealous here, God ain't being unfair. God has drawn a line, he's told them not to do something, they won't stop doing it, so they fall. They fall in the desert, they die. Nor let us tempt Christ, verse 9, as some of them also were tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. They've come out from the desert, like I said, they've had spiritual food, they've drank spiritual water from the rock. They've been supernaturally kept by the Lord. They get out, they get through the wilderness, and they go, I'm sick to death of this. This is doing me in, keep wandering. But where's this man leading us? We bring us out of the desert to die. Back in Egypt, at least we had cucumbers and onions. Cucumbers and onions, though. God said, they God give them quail, give them meat, give them spiritual bread, give them water, drink. They complained and grumbled against the Lord. Is there a way you lead this all through this desert? Surely you've got to give over it. Bang. Go on. God drew the line. God told them not. It's not going to be an option. They're not going to run away. God set them, drew the line, said, look, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. And when they did it, he said, look, you're full. Your life will be commanded of you, and it was failure. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our encouragement, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, unless he falls. Paul goes on and gives the Corinthians examples of how God judged, how he judged sin, how he put things right when the people crossed the line, how he judged them. He even says these things was written to instruct you. Therefore, watch out. They who think you're strong think, oh, I'm all right. God ain't going to judge me. Oh, that's all right. It's only a little step that way. It's only a little bit of a deal that way. It's only a bit of a mace that way. I'm saved. I love the Lord. But I'm just having a little bit of a draw. I'm just crossing the line there. I go out and get drunk that night. But I'm born again on Sunday. Worshiping and praising the Lord. Don't worry, I've just crossed the little line there. I've just said same and thought same and did same I should have done. But God knows, I'm saying, God, Paul's saying, take heed. Those who think they're strong, lest you fall. Take the warning. We know that God dealt with the Israelites and the people in the Old Testament. You read it, and it seems like he dealt with them in a harsh way. But does God deal with Christians in the same way today? Joseph, maybe we think like the Corinthian church did. That was then, it's not for now. And maybe we're 2,000 years on, we're thinking, well, that was what he said to the Corinthians, but that doesn't count for us. Does God deal with judgment still in the house of the Lord today with his children? So I will tell you this. The reason why God, one of the reasons, one, why God was so hard, not harsh, that's not the word. Well, God dealt with the Jews in the way that he did here, is that they was meant to be his example and his light in the world for all nations. All nations was meant to come to God and believe in God because of how they lived and what they'd done and how they worshipped God. And here they was living no different than the rest of the nations. Does God still deal with the church as the same way he dealt with them in the Old Testament? Can people still have their life demanded on today? Because they cross a line. Christians, I'm talking about. Because they cross a line. Is there a reason for me to fear? Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, now when we come around the table on a Sunday, and we come around the bread and wine, what does the Bible say about that? Therefore, verse 27, whoever eats this bread, in chapter 11, just on, verse 27, therefore, either eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So twice there's a warning there. Eat and drink in judgment to yourself, because you're not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What does that mean, brothers and sisters? Because I tell you what I've done before. I've heard that scripture read, and I think, God, praise the Lord. Thank you for my salvation, Lord. You're worthy. Thank you, Lord. Look. Take the bread and wine. Where are we going for dinner? Sunday, where are we going for dinner? The Paul's saying, take heed here. He said, for this reason, because you haven't discerned the Lord's body, because you haven't took it in the right manner, because you haven't put yourself right, because you haven't considered what you're doing and what this represents. He says, for many are weak and sick among you. That there was sickness that come upon people. There was a weakness in their bodies. Maybe even their minds. Because they come around the table, they're awake. He said, for this reason, many of you have fallen asleep. And what does that mean? That they died before their time. Christians died before their time because they was coming around the table with the wrong arm. They was living in sin and proclaiming the death and resurrection of the Lord. Now, fall asleep doesn't mean judged to hell. The Bible doesn't talk about Christians dying. It talks about falling asleep. These people were saved, they went to glory, but they died before their time. God would rather take them out of this world early than leave them carrying on the path they was on and maybe get caught up in sin and completely lost forever. I wonder how many Christians that's happened to today, and we don't even realise. Now, in light of all that we just read, in light of the warning, in light of what he's saying, that they fell into judgment, and they were saved. They believed in God, they fell into judgment. Then we come to verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. It says, no temptation overtake you, such as common to man. There was the sins that the Corinthians was committing was the same sins that everyone commits. And what I mean by that is there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. We're all just men and women. We all, men and women, always fall in the same way, in their hearts, in their minds, and in their lives. There's nothing new under the sun. But what that means is, because this temptation is common, this sin that they fell in is common to man, it's the same thing that everyone fails at, me, you, and everyone. There was no special circumstances. We won't be able to stand before the Lord one day and say, Lord, you don't understand. You never had the children I had, you never had the life I had, you never had the husband I had, you never had the wife I had, you never had the heartaches I had, you never had the pain I had. Lord, you didn't understand. Because the Bible says this, that he himself can sympathise with our weaknesses, because he was tempted in every way as we are tempted, but without sin. And what that means is that when Jesus Christ walked this earth, he never walked this earth, he was God in the flesh. But when he overcome sin, he never overcome sin as God. He overcome sin as a man. He walked this earth as a man, in the same way me and you do, as a human being. And he had the same temptations and the same struggles we did. And he never used his godly power to overcome them. Do you know why? Because one day we could stand before God with an excuse and say, but you're God, you don't understand. He'd say, hold on a minute, I was a man. I did walk on this earth. I did have people revile me and hate me and crucify me. I was trapped wickedly. I had the same temptations that you had, because I lived in a body, the same body that you lived in. But I never give in to it. Brothers and sisters, we understand now that in Christ we are set free from sin, hallelujah. We are set free from sin. He's saying that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. And what that means is that we can overcome. God will give us the strength to overcome in moments. You know when time comes and that door opens, the Bible says that God, the Bible says here, verse 8, that God will make a way of escape. And I tell you what that looks like. That looks like me in a situation where I can do something that I shouldn't do. I can say something or do something or add something that I shouldn't have. No matter what it is, I'm in a situation where sin is put in front of me. And the old enemy just go, caca. No one's sticking, jello. Are you going to let them talk to you like that? Sure you're going to let that carry on in that way? Sure them preachers wouldn't have a few quid then if they got the chance. Jello, you know. I'm put in a situation. When he says that God will not put more on me than I can bear, I must understand that in that time, say, Lord, because of your grace, because I'm saved, because your hand is upon my life, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not bound by sin, I'm free, and I can say no. I can overcome these things, I can say no. He says that he'll always make a way of escape. And what that means is, if there's one door open to me in sin, there'll be another door open for me to escape. But God will not force us down that road. We have to take it. We must remember, temptation will never be more than what we can bear. It'll give us the strength to bear it, and always give us the way of escape. The Corinthians had an idea that they could keep on sinning, and because they were saved, there was never going to be no consequences or judgment. But Paul taught them that if we sin against God, it has a price. The Bible teaches us in 1 Peter chapter 4 that judgment starts in the house of the Lord first. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord first. And this was the main problem with the Corinthians. The Corinthians church was not looking for a way out of sin. The Corinthian church was not looking for a way out of sin. They was looking for a way in. They was looking for their opportunities. They indulged in it. They wanted it. They loved it. They thought that was all right. Brothers and sisters, we have to realise that first of all, that it's not right to sin against the Lord. And I have to stop looking for a way and make excuses for myself and living a lifestyle that don't come into line with what God wants me to live. And I have to stop looking for a way in and start looking for a way out. Hallelujah. God will always make a way of escape. There is always a way out of sin. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. That doesn't mean I'm not going to make mistakes. And I'm guaranteed from now until I get called home to be with the Lord, I'm going to fail the Lord. I'm not perfect. And if one knows me in here, they know that's true. But I'm not looking for a way into sin in that life. I'm looking for a way out of it. Are you looking for a way out tonight? Are you looking for a way out? Let's look for a way of escape, hallelujah. Let's look for a way of escape. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I do praise you, my God. And I glorify your wonderful name. Lord, I thank you, my God, for who you are, for what you've done. And Lord, I know that your grace and your mercy, Lord, it knows no bounds, my God. But I know, my God, I can't continue, my God, in sinning against you and living a life that's unpleasing to you without having consequences in my life, my Lord. And I pray, my Lord, that when that temptation comes, I may be able to bear it, Lord, because you have set me free and you have given me a way out, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there any questions before we finish? And only now what I preach. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus for that. Let's have a cup of tea. Hey? Yeah, come on.
I know you've all been praying with me, and we've been praying now since the Lord that Lily Kate can see. And she couldn't say it, she got to about 18 months and she stopped speaking. And the only thing she could say was mum. And we prayed, and over the last 2 years she started speaking, thank the Lord, and speak clearly. But one of the sisters, Caroline, always said, Dick, I'm going to pray for her to sing to the Lord. And the last 2 meetings we've been in, she sang the Lord. I know she always sings a rebuke song and an edit song, but she's actually singing to the Lord tonight, and she was singing Sunday night. I don't know if she's singing along tonight. We're just trying to sing a little bit. So you can sing Waymaker. Do you want to sing Waymaker for the daddy?
Waymaker. Good night, baby. Bye,
but the Lord has brought us to this point, and allow her to bring us further, and I just want to thank you, Lord, and just continue to pray for her.